Well, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I hope this finds you well. You're listening to It's Your Money, the financial podcast designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. Why do I do that all the time? I have no idea why I do that. It just feels like the right thing to do. Anyway, I've been doing this thing for a long time now. It feels like a long time. I hope this finds you well today. I'm excited to get back on track this wonderful new year of 2012 and create a lot more content, as you're probably starting to notice. I want to bring a little coaching to you. This is what I'm going to focus on in this segment, a little bit of coaching. It's going to follow up on some of the segments that you'll probably see on our list there of our podcast. Again, Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm, which I happen to be the president of, and Financial Abundance, that is, it does sponsor It's Your Money, this financial podcast. And the whole intent is to educate. We believe education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence. And confidence potentially and can manifest itself in peace of mind. And I know that's, that's very elusive. I think a lot of people, if you really get down to the crux of it and they're really open and forthright, would tell you that they probably have some concerns as it relates to their money situation. And as a result, I think a lot of that is just a matter of coaching. You know, you get educated about something, the unknown is more disconcerting or concerning to me than knowing something and how it may work, even if I didn't like the way that it worked per se. The unknown is more intimidating. Knowledge is power, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Now, recently, in the last month or so, we've done a few shows. When I say we, Deb Seward occasionally joins me. She's under the weather today. We did a 30-day challenge, which is a concept of budgeting a little bit, needs versus wants. These were recent podcasts that talked a little bit about the concept of how much money do you need versus how much do you want, because we believe retirement is an income level, not necessarily an age level. And then we talked about the three types of money. These are all important subjects to kind of get a well-rounded idea of how to go about investing, continuing an investment program, enhancing a program, exercising the 11th commandment, ladies and gentlemen, and that is, thou shalt not fake thyself out. I really believe in it. I live my life that way. Thou shalt not fake thyself out. And part of that is realizing where you are, what you're trying to accomplish. So the intent of today's show is to take it a step further. That is, you did the 30-day challenge. You looked at where your money's going, every penny, for fun, 30 days. Then you went out and said, okay, what is my needs budget versus my wants budget? Needs would be what I need to live and sustain, you know, a quality of life. Wants would be adding to that, you know, extra stuff, travel and toys and hobbies and et cetera. Then there's three types of money that most people don't realize that they really need to focus on. They really need to focus on three types of money. That is accumulated money, lifestyle money. That would be money to pay their bills. And then transferred money, that is wealth transfers that people often unwittingly and unknowingly make. Well, today I want to take it a step further to build on this, ladies and gentlemen. And the concept I want to build on is, how is it that we save? You know, it's interesting. I've been fortunate through my career and my life with the military and school, et cetera, and business endeavors to make a decent living. And I've often said to people, I picked this up many, many years ago, that people are broke at a different level. It's really interesting. You know, think about when you first left high school and you got that first job, or maybe when you were in high school. My first job was $1.50 an hour, late 70s at Wonderland Amusement Park in Amarillo, Texas, $1.50 an hour. And I just thought I was in it, brother. I mean, I was in high cotton, as they say down south. And, then you get out of school and you start paying some bills. I went in the military and, you know, started getting that to E1 pay grade and then went up to E5 before I got out, getting those raises and got out of school or out of the military and went to school and, got a job then. My point is, I would progressively through the years, through the decades now at 47 years old, going on three decades, you have the same blessing that you've continued to grow your financial war chest, if you will, and you're accumulating power. But yet we're broke at a different level. It's amazing to me. I'll look at someone making $25,000 a year versus somebody making, $500,000 a year, and they're basically spending all that they're making. And what that led me to this conclusion was this, that the only thing that's different between somebody making 25 grand a year, 50 grand a year, and somebody making $250,000 a year is creature comforts. They're broke at different level. Maybe, you know, when I was making $25,000 a year, I had a beat-up older car. You know, when I made a little bit more money, I have a newer car. These types of things, you know. Your home's a little bigger. Now, some of it leads to keeping up with the Joneses, which I've never really understood, because the fact of the matter is, you know, why would you want to keep up with people you don't even like to start with? You know, you're buying stuff you don't want to impress people you don't even like. But aside from that, thou shalt not fake thyself out. How is it that we address this issue that people are all broke at a different level? We live within our means. And what I've realized is this. You, me, and most Americans, most people, that is, will pay their bills. We pay our bills, but we have a hard time saving. You know, it's amazing. I went through the years here. I remember in my early 40s having a conversation with my wife. We were doing some financial planning. And I said, honey, you know, boy, we haven't put as much money away as you would think, especially based on some of the money that we've made. We should have saved more. And we analyze it and we just say, you know, we rationalize things, you know. Well, let's go out and eat tonight. I had a hard day. I'm going to rationalize eating out rather than, you know, cooking at home, etc. I mean, that's just part of the flesh. It's human nature. It's the nature of, I remember when I was in the military, one of the instructors would say, a sailor will always take the path of least resistance. Well, I don't think that's just sailors. I think that's all people. And so, this led me to an epiphany, if you will. What's an epiphany? Kind of a sudden manifestation of the sudden nature of things. And I came to this conclusion that, you know what? We pay our bills. Why don't we treat savings as a bill? And it's kind of like, very similar to a 401k where you would do a payroll deduct. It's kind of forced savings because you really don't see it. I'm talking about after you get your paycheck. And so several years back, I said to my wife, well, let's just start working this bill into our budget. We're just going to call it retirement. We allotted so much to be in that, and we treat it like a bill. Now, what makes it easier is when you go out and get some advice and some coaching, and hopefully those are from, people that have a like-minded, way of thinking. Investment Answers is a great book, by the way. A little plug on Investment Answers is a great book as it relates to helping you kind of vet that out. But anyway, back on track. I'm starting to rant a little bit. Savings is a bill. It makes it easier. For example, there's a certain investment that I have that every month my wife puts so much money in for her and so much money in for me. And that would be different than a Roth, or some people do traditional IRAs or so on. You know, some people have 401k plans at work. They don't necessarily like the investment options of the 401k plan. And I said, well, do they match your 401k? Well, no. Well, then why even contribute to it? Why don't you just take your full paycheck and then pay the taxes on it and then put the money in your checking account and just have it automatically withdrawn every month into an investment account or insurance or annuity, whatever your thing is, whatever fits your plan, okay? And so what I started realizing was a few years went by after we started doing this, and I said to my wife, I said, wow, look at this. We've really, we should pat ourselves on the back. We've done a good job in saving. And this includes years like 2008, where my income would drop because we're fee only. Our fees based on the balance of our accounts, et cetera. And so basically what ends up happening is we look back on it and said, wow, this works. This idea of saving, treating savings as a bill works. So I want to challenge you to consider it. If you're not sure how to get it started, give our office a call or check out our website. Probably easier to call because there's not a whole lot of content on this. 866-867-5745. That's Financial Abundance here in Happy Valley, State College, Pennsylvania. We do business all over the country, but we are the majority of our clients are obviously in Pennsylvania and center Pennsylvania, which is where State College is. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a paradigm shift. It's a matter of just looking at things a little bit differently. Start treating your savings like a bill. Pick a number. That's how much the bill is. It's got to be paid. And look, there's been months, ladies and gentlemen, when we were a little shy. We paid that anyway. And I mean, if I had to charge that payment for a month or two, knowing that I would catch up, that's fine. Now, you obviously wouldn't want to charge, you know, your retirement account, but I'm trying to be dramatic to make a point here, okay? Thou shalt not fake thyself out, and if you do, it's your fault. You can't point a finger. You know, every time I point a finger at someone, I got three pointed back at me. It's really interesting. So I try to keep from pointing too many fingers, but you know, we can all improve, can't we? We can all get better. And you know what? Let's focus on progress, not perfection. Can you do that? Let's focus on progress, not perfection. Just do a little bit each month. Just try to do a little better each time. If you'd like to learn more about a academic and a scientific approach to investing, as well as some very creative and unique wealth strategies for retirement and tax planning, etc., give her office a call. Give me a call. The investor coach or one of the coaches in the office will be happy to help you. You can always just call and ask for me. Go to our website, financialabundanceinc.com, or just give her office a call, 866-867-5745. I will get back to you, I promise. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach and host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that pulls back the curtain on the services industry, the financial services industry, and exposes the truth about money and investing. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know the few right things. And how do you know that? Get someone to coach you up. Get coached up. You can do it, okay? Not that hard when you get someone that's going to coach you up a little bit. Not sell you something, but get you coached up. Paul Nichols, investor coach. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.